720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth. Thanks for being with us today on the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm in for Steve Bertrand. He'll be back with you tomorrow, though. No worries there. He's all good. All right, my friends, we've got a lot to get into today. We're going to be talking with a happiness coach because you know what? Sometimes the holidays are just tough times for people. So we're going to be talking with her. We're going to be talking about shopping local and two areas in the Chicagoland area that have done a really good job of supporting mom and pop businesses. So we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be talking about real estate on the Mag Mile. Is it as magnificent as we think? We're going to be talking all about that. But right now, we have our good friend Tom Gimbel in the studio with us. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Amy. Good to be with you.
He is the founder and CEO of the LaSalle Network, and we are always so happy to have you here and bringing your insights and wisdom with you. So you know what I want to talk about today is performance.
Is it because I'm happy?
It is. You're a happy guy. We love being around you here. Well, you know, I want to talk about performance reviews today because I think...
Those should make you happy, Amy.
They should make you happy. And I think people have so much dread and angst about them.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they're getting... It's like a punishment.
You should know what's coming at a performance. If you work for the right company and you work for the right manager, you should know what's coming at a performance review. What you hear in that shouldn't be a shock to you.
Right. I've always heard it said that it should be a written record that you and your boss work on together to talk about your goals and your challenges and things
like that. It's an affirmation on how the year went and good or bad. And you should know, you know, you can have a bad performance review that you know is coming and you're prepared for it and the goal is to move forward on it. And I think what employees need to look at and say, I still have the job, so they like me. Right. I think that gets lost somewhere in translation.
True.
Is they're spending the time to go over it with you, and you can go into it negatively and you can exit negatively, but that does you no good. And if you actually go in saying, whether I'm reviewed positively or negatively on the past year, they want me to be here. So the question is, how do I build on those things? And I always like a low bar because it allows me to exceed it. So with that said, if you're going in and you get a negative performance review, now you know where the bar is, where the bottom is.
That's right? A good point. Let's ask
the happiness coach about that. And so if you go in for but if you get a positive review, the bar's been raised. You've got to exceed that. It's making your goals, your quotas, what you need to accomplish in 2016 that much higher.
That's a great point.
I'm not saying go in shooting for a low one, right. But there's a positive spin on it,
right.
Amy.
Well, what about, you know, when you want to negotiate something? I think a lot of times people think of the performance review as a time to either, you know, go part-time or take on more responsibility or talk about money or things like that.
I think it's the biggest mistake of most employees make is there's so much going on at the end of the year, right? Executive team even my own company, we're worrying about budgets for next year, marketing, expansion plans, and then you have rank and file employees who are the bread and butter of what the company is, but there's so many bigger, quote unquote, bigger pictures, bigger expenditures that the leadership team and management's facing. There's no reason that you can't be talking about what you want to accomplish throughout the other 10 or 11 months of the year. And so be thinking about responsibility, be thinking about titles, be thinking about raises. And what you've got to be asking your manager throughout the year is, what do I need to do? What are your expectations of me in order to get that promotion, in order to get that raise?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know what that is in the beginning, you know what you're working for.
So it's clear and you have a path.
Yeah,
and I think that makes a lot of employee angst when you don't have a clear path to the next thing and you don't know what's expected of you.
But a lot of times, and this is really where the conflict between employees and management is, employees don't necessarily always want to know, right? They want to know when they get more money. They don't want to know what they have to do to earn the money. Because once you ask that question, the expectation now becomes that you're going to do those things.
Fair enough.
Right? And if you don't want to do those things, you don't want to put in more time, you're in a real conundrum.
That's true. That's
so
very true.
So the goal is ask the question of what you need to do in order to get the raise or the promotion, but then you have to be ready to execute. The ideas are great. Execution's the challenge.
True. Very true. And what about the situation that I think a lot of people get in where, you know, you have to write your own performance review in most cases, and mm-hmm. then you and your boss kind of have to agree upon the written record. What do you do when you have vastly different ratings or opinions about how the year went?
I think a lot of companies are shying away from that. From the pure reason that it can create more angst and conflict in the review. However, if your company and your employer, your manager asks you to fill out an evaluation, you need to be honest with yourself. And I think you really need to look and say, what were the conversations I had through the year? Where did I fail? And address those. And that's what management wants to see more than anything else, is somebody who has good self-perspective. Mm-hmm. And they can say, I was below average in this, but I exceeded on this. And if you can't acknowledge that you didn't hit the mark, I think that's more limiting to you than any failure that you have, is the acknowledgement of where you failed and then asking them, what do you think as my manager? What could I have done differently in order to have not had that happen?
Sure, sure. And then what about kind of performance reviews aside, as you go into a new year? Because as you pointed out, the end of the year, it's usually about closing numbers and meeting goals, and there's a lot of pressure on a lot of managers at the end of the year. Going into New Year's, what can employees do to kind of start the year right and really set themselves up to win in the year ahead?
I think January and February are really core months to work more than you do throughout. Right? There is no, the summer, everyone's saying, can we get summer hours? Can we leave early on Fridays? You take time off at the holidays. January and February, well, even if it's not below zero and snowing, right? It's raining outside today. Work. Dig in January, February. It's not about joining the health club and losing weight. It's about laying the foundation and getting in shape professionally. And so your company needs to get on the right foot and hit goals in January and February and not be saying, we came a dollar short in November and December at the end of the year. Start out strong. Take on new projects at the end of the year in the early part of January and really show your manager and your team what you're capable of doing.
Sounds good. Yeah. All right. Those are all very, very good points to consider. Thanks so much. Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Always happy to see you.
Thanks for having me on. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. WGN. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Amy Guth in for Steve Bertrand. He'll be back with you tomorrow. My friends, we have so much on the show still to get into. We're going to be talking here in just a bit about small businesses and some areas of Chicagoland that have done a really excellent job of supporting those mom and pop establishments. So we're going to be getting into that, and we're going to be talking about real estate on the Mag Mile. But first, we are joined by Gina Murata. She is the happiness coach. Hi, Gina. How are you?
Hi, Amy. So excited to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, I love that you are in the happiness business. That's got to be such a rewarding business to be in. But I think this time of year, it's especially important to think about the work that you're doing because so many people struggle during the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. And towards the end of the year, too, we're really thinking about what's been this last year of my life and what do I want it to be going forward?
Right, kind of taking stock of the year and how did I do in this area, which I think is a really valuable thing to do. I think everyone should do that. But sometimes it does bring up stuff that's a little uncomfortable. And I think, too, this time of year is tough sometimes, not just for people celebrating Christmas, but sometimes people that don't celebrate Christmas, because I think it's a time of year where we tend to see our differences sometimes a little bit more in the way we celebrate this month.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what one of the things we all really crave is connection. And so coming back to what unites us and brings us together is certainly a part of the happiness factor.
Definitely. So talk to us a bit about the work that you do as a happiness coach and how that works and how people can learn from you.
Yeah, so I work with people who have known happiness and success and joy in life, but they're experiencing a time in which it doesn't feel as present as they would like it to be. So, you know, like any kind of strategy, really, it starts with a conversation of what is going on in your life. What are the key areas where you're not feeling the joy that you want to? And it's often in the realm of work. There's statistics now that, you know, only about 45% of people are actually happy and satisfied in their jobs. It could be in the realm of relationship, whether you are in one that you're struggling with or you want one and you don't have one, or family relationships. And sometimes it's just simply in your relationship with yourself. You may want certain things in your life and you don't feel that you can achieve them. Mm-hmm. So once we identify where the struggle is, we look towards what the person really wants to create for their life and then go to work on filling in the gaps. What is it going to take to get from where you are today to where you want to be?
Excellent. And you talk a lot about finding your genius. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so your genius, we all have it. It's not reserved for a select few who are highly intelligent. When I talk about genius, it's about that which you were naturally born and talented from childhood. It just wanted to come out of you. It's really your first nature. You may not recognize it as special because it is just so who you are and what is important to you. And your genius also, as you get to be an adult and you've gone through life, it's sort of the sum of your experiences that brings you into this purposeful area of work this purposeful type of work that when you do it, you lose time. You're just in joy. It's very easy for you. We have this perception around work, you know, from the Industrial Revolution times of like work has to be hard and you put in a lot of hours and it feels difficult. But when you're talking about being in your genius zone, work is very joyful.
That sounds so wonderful. And I'm shocked to hear only 45% of people. I guess I shouldn't be shocked, though, because we always see on social media, right, people on Sunday evenings go, oh, it's almost Monday. I have to go back to work, right? We see people kind of bemoaning that. So that's
absolutely
a very worthy work that you're doing to get people to kind of discover the thing that their true gifts, I suppose, would be one way to say it for sure.
Yes, yes. It is so rewarding because once people get what they're great at, it's not like so surprising to them. It's actually they're like, oh yeah, I've always wanted to do that. And when they get to start to see a pathway to spend their life, their days doing that, you can just imagine how the happiness factor jumps very quickly.
I imagine so. Well, Gina, thanks so much for being with us today. Where can people find you online and on social media if they would like to find out more about happiness coaching?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. So you can go to my website, which is my name, GinaMarotta.com. It's GinaMarotta.com. And the social media outlet I'm most active in is Facebook. So you can also find me there. And I also have a newsletter if you want to sign up for information on my website about receiving some more tips on happiness and genius and truly living from a passionate place from your heart.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Everybody, again, that's GinaMarotta.com. Go visit her and find out all about finding your own genius and doing things the happy way. Thanks very much, Gina. Happy holidays to
you. Thanks, Amy. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break. And we come back, we are talking about small businesses in areas of Chicago where it's working really well to support the mom and pop establishments. We'll be right back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's a Wintrust Business Lunch. Amy Guth in for Steve Bertrand today. He'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks for all your text messages to 312-981-7200. Thanks very much. We always appreciate all of your thoughtful comments. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking with Frank Sennett. He's the Director of Digital Strategy over at Cranes Chicago. We're going to be talking about real estate on the Mag Mile. But right now, my friends, we are joined by Nancy Cummings, who's the Executive Director of the LaGrange Business Association, and Rudy Flores, the Executive Director of Lincoln Square Ravenswood Chamber of Commerce, two areas here in Chicagoland who have done such an excellent job of really putting the focus on the small business and the mom and pops and kind of not making it all about the big box, because I think that's something on a lot of people's minds, particularly this time of year when we're all scrambling for gifts and everything at the last minute. Talk to me a bit about how you've accomplished that in your areas.
Well, I think that one of the things that a lot of the chambers and business associations have been successful with, especially in LaGrange, is an Unwrap LaGrange promotion. It's a shopper's rewards program, which I know Rudy can also address as well. And that's an incentive to encourage people to support their local independent merchants, not only this time of the year, but throughout the year as well. And so what we're doing here in LaGrange is offering basically a $30 rebate if you're one of the first 100 shoppers to spend at least $300 in at least three merchants. So it gives us the opportunity to have shoppers get comfortable and get familiar with the different offerings that we provide, and allows our merchants then to get to know the customer a little bit better as well.
Excellent. I love that. And that kind of gets people in the door, and I think $300 this time of year is pretty doable. I think people are going to do that anyway. So they're thinking, okay, I can get some of that back.
Exactly. It's an easy spend, and then they can get rewarded for some of their loyalty and their support as well.
Excellent. And Rudy, what about Lincoln Square Ravenswood?
So we're actually doing a similar promotion called Unwrap Lincoln Square Ravenswood, where again, if you spend $300 total between at least three businesses, we'll reward you with a $50 gift card that's to our community. So basically, once you send your receipts into us and you're one of the first 150 people, then we're going to mail you that gift card to hopefully come back.
Keep shopping.
Right. In the winter season, you know, when typically small businesses are a little bit slower. So it's kind of an incentive to come back and have dinner, you know, stop at a store, maybe go to a movie, stuff like that.
Excellent. That's an excellent idea. And so that you've kind of answered my next question is how that's tracked. So in your case, you mail in receipts.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're collecting in those copies of receipts and seeing what businesses people are supporting. So as of this morning, you know, we've had 77 businesses so far that we've received receipts from. So far, the receipts total over $33,000. Last year, we collected about $96,000 in receipts. So we start to see that, you know, big push in people mailing them right now.
Sure.
You can mail
them. They're like, oh, I got to get that money back.
Exactly. So that you can mail them to us until the beginning of January.
Excellent. And what about in LaGrange? How is that tracked?
LaGrange will be tracked at the end of the month. And so I don't have those figures, but this is our second year and it was very successful last year. We expect the same this year as well.
Same kind of thing where you mail in the receipts and
exactly.
You...
Exactly. Okay. You can do it online at our website, lgba.com, or you can go to Village Hall and turn in your receipts as well.
Excellent. And what about the small business owners that are in your communities? What are some things that you know that you hear from them that are important to them, or maybe ways that consumers can better support them?
Small business, I think, is actually really big business, and it's important for people to understand that if they don't support their local small business, then it goes away. The small business in your neighborhood are what make your neighborhood versus my neighborhood, and so people, I think, now are really starting to understand that. There has been some pushback from retailers in seeing the chaos and the busyness of the big box stores and how maybe that's not something that we want to spend our holiday season spending a lot of time and money
sure.
in there. And so I think our retailers and our merchants and the small and independent businesses have been able to capitalize on that and give much more personal service. And they can offer things that are very eclectic, very different from what you'd find in other locations.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really key because I think the convenience issue is so easy for the big box stores. It's really hard to compete with that. Even when we think of the Amazons and the Target.com and those kind of things. But then, as you pointed out, it's a zoo in there. Nobody wants to go to a big box store to do their holiday shopping because it's not fun. It's kind of chaotic and it's sort of awful, right? So that small business shopping experience can be really great. And I think you nailed it by saying that it's that personal touch, because sometimes you learn about, you know, where the products were created, or you learn, oh, this cutting board was made from trees that were knocked down here in Illinois or something like that, and you kind of feel good about it. And then suddenly your gift has a story attached to it, and I think that's so much more meaningful. Rudy, what would you say to that about Lincoln Square, Ravenswood, about supporting, how to support those small businesses better?
You know, one thing that I think small businesses do really well is they're creating an environment that's not just about shopping. It's also about family, connecting with the business owner, learning your community. So, you know, in our neighborhood, we have an area that's developing on Damon Ave, you know, off the Brown Line stop there, where you have a lot of new local businesses that are popping up. And they just did an event last Thursday called Damon at Night, staying open until 10 o'clock p.m., which is a little bit later typically for a small business. And through that event, they were offering special promotions, festive drinks, you know, making it an event that you can go out with your girlfriends, you can go out with your family. And so it's really just creating that sense of community. Because of that event, most of the businesses that participate, is about 14 businesses, they all had their highest grossing day of the year just because of that event. So what happens, I think, with small businesses compared to the big box is they're trying to create that special moment that gives you feeling and, like, you know, you want to celebrate the holidays, and it turns out to be a bigger event for your whole family.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, with small businesses, you see that flexibility. You know, sometimes you come in and you start up a conversation, and then you get the flexibility and the personal kind of almost a concierge sort of feel, because then they know, oh, this customer loves this brand of jewelry, and we know there's a sale coming up or things like that. Whereas, you know, you got to subscribe to a bunch of mailing lists and have a whole bunch of stuff in your inbox to get that from a big box store. Excellent. Well, so as these promotions wrap up, what are things people can be doing outside of the holidays, kind of year round, that we should think of, especially as you pointed out in January and February when it's a little slower, it's a little bit harder to be a mom and pop kind of business? What should we be looking for to help our businesses then?
Well, all of the merchants understand that the first quarter of the year is always a little bit tough because of weather. Now, this has been so mild, it sort of changed the face of retail shopping over the last couple of weeks. But looking into the first quarter, you know, it's going to be a very slow season for example, a lot of restaurants in January and February. So that's really the time when a lot of local restaurateurs will have special menus, special offerings. They might have chef's tables or chef's demonstrations to really stimulate that traffic. And you can expect that LaGrange will be one of those destinations that will also have something like that in January or February.
Excellent. What about Lincoln Square and Ravenswood?
I always say I highly suggest following social media, like following your different restaurants and local businesses, because like Nancy just said, that there are a lot more specials and stuff like that do happen in the wintertime to get people to come back out. So if you know, they're going to be doing more of their marketing via social media because it's cheaper, you know.
Yes, indeed.
So that way they're able to target a larger audience, and you can find those like really special things that are going on in the community.
Excellent. Well, I love the way you said it, Nancy, that you know, that is what makes your neighborhood, and those mom and pop businesses are so very important to support, because if we don't, they go away, and suddenly our neighborhood is a very different place. Well, so good luck to both of you and your neighborhoods and your areas, and everybody, go shop, go help the mom and pops. Don't go to the big box first. Try the mom and pops. You'll have a much better experience, and it will be cozy and wonderful, and you'll make friends and meet people and have a great experience. I promise you. Rudy Flores, Executive Director of Lincoln Square Ravenswood Chamber of Commerce, and Nancy Cummings, Executive Director of LaGrange Business Association. Thank you so much for being with us today on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks for having us.
All right. We'll be right back in just a bit on 720 WGN. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Amy Guth in for Steve Bertrand. He'll be back in with you tomorrow. All right, my friends, right now we have our good friend, Frank Sennett, on the phone. Always a pleasure to talk with him. He's the Director of Digital Strategy and Custom Media at Crane's Chicago Business. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Amy. Ran into Steve in the audience at Second City last night, so I know what he's up to. He's having fun.
Ah, he's just playing hooky today. I see how it is. I see how it is, Bertrand. Okay. Well, that's all right. It's great to talk with you. You know, there's a couple of stories that were on ChicagoBusiness.com that I really want to talk with you about the most, although there are so many. One I thought was so interesting was, how magnificent is the Mag Mile? And it was all about retail rents here in this great shopping district where we sit right now in Tribune Tower.
Yeah, so the Magnificent Mile is not so magnificent in terms of commanding rents compared to New York City. The most expensive retail street in the United States is Upper Fifth Avenue. It commands, in New York City, commands $3,500 a square foot. And Madison Avenue is number two at $1,500. And then Lower Fifth Avenue in New York is number three at $1,000. And then you got Rodeo Drive in L.A. and Soho in New York City. So four of the top five in New York. Then Union Square in San Francisco, and then coming in at number seven is North Michigan Avenue, $525 a square foot. And so it really does pale in comparison to a lot of those New York streets.
I was going to say that really, that's, you know, quite a jump down from Fifth Avenue, indeed.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, $525 a square foot versus $3,500 a square foot. The landlords on Michigan Avenue really wish they were in New York, I think.
No doubt. And so what do we attribute that to? Is it just sort of the positioning of the city and the overall, U.S. economy? Or is there something about, does that tell us something that we need to adapt about Chicago?
Well, I think really it has a lot to do with the international quality of the destination. New York City, Upper Fifth Avenue, is also the top on the world's most expensive retail streets. And Michigan Avenue is just 36th on that list. So I think that if you, you know, get more international visitors in, really in the shopping mood, then that's how you can boost that. I think with just the local shopping dollars, we're never going to get there. So, you know, cities like New York, London, Tokyo, when you've got a global city, you charge global level rents.
Right. Indeed, they do. You know, another thing I want to talk about with you is we were just talking with some folks about small businesses and how to support them better and how they really make up the neighborhood. And so there was a story on ChicagoBusiness.com that really caught my eye, and it was all about things that people are not buying this season. We put so much effort and conversation around things that people are buying and what they should be buying and how they should be buying them and who they should be buying them from. I thought this was a very interesting story, looking at where dollars are not going right now this season.
Yeah, Bridget Sweeney, who's a great retail reporter, has a piece at ChicagoBusiness.com that does the analysis that even though the National Retail Federation says we're going to have almost a 4% spending increase for the holiday season over last year, there's one sector that's really lagging, and that is apparel, clothing. We had Nordstrom cut its earnings guidance on expected 2015 earnings in November for that reason. The Gap is closing 25% of its stores. Apparel sales are tanking at Sears. J. Crew posted a $1.2 billion loss through the first three quarters of the year. They're scrambling. They've got a new CFO trying to turn things around. And the only bright spot, really, Kohl's bucked the trend. They had sales up 1.2% in Q3, and that is thanks to what they say is on target, on trend sportswear from Nike, New Balance, and Puma, that kind of thing. So I guess if you get the right mix, maybe you can go against the tidal wave. But apparel's not doing great, and the analyst that she spoke to said 2016 not looking great for apparel either.
And what do we attribute that to?
Well, one of the things that people are talking about is this fast fashion focus, you know, where you go Get something that is not, you know, a keepsake in your closet, but is inexpensive and it does the trick for this season, and then you recycle it. And so at those lower price points, you're just not going to churn that much revenue. And there's just, I guess, less interest in conspicuous consumption in fashion these days.
Very interesting. It seems like a lot of people are really thinking about more mindful shopping and where they're getting their things, who's making them. And that's a very interesting moment that we're in. And it will be interesting to see how it continues to play out in the numbers for sure.
Yeah. And if you look at IBM's forecast, IBM Watson list of top sellers, only one apparel item, Nike shoes, made the list.
Aha, the Nike shoes. Hard to get around those. Lots of people have those. Lots of people love them. All right. Frank Sennett, the Director of Digital Strategy and Custom Media at Crain's Chicago Business. Thanks so much for joining us today, Frank.
Thanks, Amy.
All right. Have a good one, and happy holidays to you. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to get you to news and then turn things back over to Bill Leff and Judy Pilak here in just a bit on 720 WGN.